Study this afternoon is going to be on the subject of adoption and our own experience of that. We're going to look at several different passages that are going to be descriptive of what Ferguson calls family traits. And if you think of adoption as being part of a family, it's appropriate for us to think of it in these terms. It's arranged here. Let's turn first of all to Luke chapter 15, and made reference to this at our last study. It is the parable of the prodigal son. It's a passage is a familiar story to us. It's a story that Jesus told. Even so, I want to read it. And there are three main characters: the prodigal son, the father of the prodigal, and the older brother. And I have a few comments on each of these. There really is a deep and important parable for us, and I won't plumb its depths, but for the subject of adoption, I'd like to make a few comments on it. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' He arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. When he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found.'" The subject of adoption is very pointedly brought to our attention in this parable, in each of the three main characters that are given here. The prodigal son is a very memorable and very very pointed demonstration of one who has wandered away from his father's house, has taken and rebelled, taken his inheritance, rebelled against the father, and squandered that inheritance, only to come to himself, as it says in verse 17, and realize that in his father's house that even the servants there are doing better than he is. He comes with confession to his father and asks to be brought back into the household, not as a son, but as a servant. And is instead received by the father as a son, with rejoicing and with a party. Killing of the fatted calf, and is received back. That journey back, that experience of coming back that the prodigal son experiences, is one that does speak to our own experience of adoption and our own experience of being brought into the family of God. We've talked the last couple of weeks about the biblical expressions of adoption that begin in creation and then go into the New Testament, that are fulfilled in Christ. And Jesus told this story to help demonstrate how we experience adoption. The father here is an important figure as well, because the father is the one who loves the prodigal. The father is the one who receives and forgives and adopts the prodigal back. The prodigal had received his inheritance and was, in a sense, on his own. Had separated himself from the father and had no legal right to come back and to expect any other reception. In mercy and in love, the father accepts and does bring the prodigal back to his own household. He speaks of him as having been dead and is now alive. He was lost and is found. And in the context of the larger picture of Luke and the parables of Jesus Christ, we can see that it is placed in the context of the lost sheep and the lost coin, which point to Jesus Christ as the one who comes to seek and to save that which is lost. So the love of the Father, demonstrated by the sending of His Son to seek and to save that which is lost, is a key point in our understanding of our experience of adoption, that our God is a God who seeks and saves the prodigal, the one who has rebelled and is far off. I've gone fairly quickly over those two because I want to come to the second son and to consider him. I want to consider him a little more deeply because while the beginning of the story is about the prodigal, the end of the story is about the older son and about the interaction between the father and the older son. And this is spoken in the context of Jesus' ministry among the Jews and especially among the Pharisees, who were not accepting of the work of Christ, who came to seek and to save that which was lost, and demonstrated some of the attitudes and rejection that the older son does. And one of the books that I've studied in regards to this, Sinclair Ferguson, talks about and emphasizes the older son as representing the Pharisee, and as he says, this Pharisee lurks in the hearts of most men, and his influence may not be wholly destroyed by conversion. What he's speaking about, and what he's warning about, is is the attitude of the older son that's demonstrated in what he says about the younger son. So, just to flesh that out, let me ask you to compare and to contrast the older son and the younger son. What did the older son do while the younger son took his inheritance and spent it?
Serve the father.
Did he go out drinking and partying and wasting his father's money?
No.
And when let me focus on that term serving. How would you describe the older son's attitude of that service that he was giving to his father? How so?
Because he's like, look at everything I've done for you. Why can't I go celebrate?
He doesn't recognize that everything he has comes from the Father. It's the same as the younger son.
Very significantly, he does not recognize grace at the end of is what he misses, and you've identified that grudging and self-serving and legalistic as terms that describe the New King James interprets the word as having served. Let me see. Lo, these many years I have been serving you. And Ferguson makes the grammatical point that the word that's used is more the idea of a slavish service, that he has slaved for his father. And it's in that word and in those attitudes that demonstrate the missing of grace that is part of his life. That, yes, indeed, all that he had from his father by his father's love and by his grace, just as surely as the younger son had. And in Jesus' context, the Pharisees did approach their relationship to God with this attitude of slavish obedience. An idea of if I do this, then God will love me. And when Jesus tells this story, he sets our relationship in the arena of adoption and in the arena of grace, rather than in the terms of characterized it before as do this and live, as our obedience being that which spawns God's love for us. Listen to what Ferguson says about this. I think he really identifies it well. He says it was ultimately the elder brother who proved to be in the far country spiritually. He had never entered into a true filial relationship with his father. He thought of his father as a slave master and himself as a slave, not as a son. Many Christians retain some measure of the spirit of the elder brother, which he goes on to describe as thinking of themselves as distant from God, of seeing God as a taskmaster who requires our obedience in order to please him, making us to become suspicious and mistrustful of God's goodness, of his providence, of his grace in our lives. To address that, Jesus confronts both the prodigal and the older son with a God of grace and with a God who who loves and adopts us into his family. And our experience of that adoption can take on several different paths, and maybe you find yourself in both of the son's shoes at different points. That of the prodigal that has wandered far physically and demonstrably into a variety of obvious sinful behaviors, or it could be that of the older son who may not have strayed demonstrably from the father, but in heart was not drawing near to God, and instead was looking at God from a wrong perspective. What is needed in both cases is for the sons to come to themselves, to come to a God of grace, and to recognize that our experience of adoption is the same in both cases, that it is by God's grace that we are saved. One more quote from Ferguson that I found very helpful. What is really needed is a deep reworking of our view of God, for the root of the mistrust lies in our idea of God and how we think of our relationship to Him. There is no shortcut that tries to bypass the patient unfolding of the true character of God and our relationship to Him as His children that can ever succeed in providing long-term spiritual therapy. But the knowledge that the Father has bestowed His love on us, so that we are called the children of God, will over time prove to be the solvent in which our fears, mistrust, suspicion of God, as well as our sense of distance from Him, will eventually dissolve. Then we will enter into a richer experience of confidence and assurance as the children of our Father in heaven. I especially appreciated Ferguson's application of this parable to our understanding of our relationship to God as our Father, and meditating on that and realizing that all that we have is by grace, and to come to that recognition that God has bestowed His love on us so that we are called children of God. That is soothing to our fears and mistrusts, and that is true grace and true ministry of that. The traits of the family that I'd like to meditate on, I think, are going to have to be saved for next week. I went longer than I anticipated on the prodigal son. If you'd like to think more about the traits of the children of God, I would encourage you to read 1 John and to see what the Apostle John says about the children of God and how being a child of God changes our relationship to sin, to the world, to each other, especially in 1 John. I'm going to close there today and encourage you to take to heart the love of the Father for the prodigal, both the one that wandered far and the one that stayed home, and the love that is demonstrated in Jesus Christ to us as His church. Let's close together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I'm thankful for our own experience of that love. God, we confess of our own that we have wandered without seeking after You, that we have that the Pharisaical attitudes are ones that do cling to us, and we confess, God, that we can tend to look at our relationship based on how we do and what we have done. Instead, O Lord, I pray that we would see more and more the depth of your grace and the love that you have shown to us, and that you would strip us of any self-righteousness or legalistic righteousness, but instead make us glad in your presence to be your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.